The Bible says, and everything gives thanks. This is our response in every situation. Father, we decree and declare that you deserve all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and worship. Amen, amen. This is Father's Day this morning. So I'd like you to, ladies especially, every man that you can see on your right or left, I'd like you to wish them a happy Father's Day this morning. Father's Day in advance. Happy Father. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Sorry, you may be seated. Thank you. One, two. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for keeping me time because I couldn't see the time, so I didn't know whether to stop or whether to go on, but isn't God so amazing? He made us stop. There was a spiritual clock that made us stop right on time. It's good to see everyone in the house this morning, and happy Father's Day to all the men in the house. And just want to say that this morning we're going to focus on Father's Day. I know that Pastor Benton has been talking about the series about the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday was an awesome message. But we just want to really look at a teaching around Father's Day this morning. Let us pray once more again this morning. Amen. Let's just bow down our eyes in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because, Lord, I don't even know how to teach. Who am I? But I thank you, Holy Spirit, because all we need to do is just look at your word. And then, Holy Spirit, you take charge. You lead, you direct. You give the words. You give the inspiration. I just pray that every heart that is here today opens up their heart and they take something away from the message that will transform their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And just because I said it's a Father's Day teaching, women, don't zone out and be like, oh, well, it's not for me. No. And yeah, I must say that, honestly, this world we live in is very unbiased because I went into the shop yesterday. I don't know about you, but I was like, is it actually Father's Day? Because they didn't even make a fuss about it. But when it comes to Mother's Day, you know, it's a real big fuss. But don't worry, fathers, it's your time. Today's your day. Yes. And so today in the message, I'm just going to go through a few points. And what I actually was inspired to do was take the word father and use the beginning of each letter as a point. So when I want to describe fathers, there's so much to say because fathers are amazing people. But these are just a few things to take note about how Christian fathers, I want to emphasize the point, Christian fathers, we're talking about Christian fathers this morning. So when we look at the word father, the points I'm going to focus on looking at each letter is F. Christian fathers, they have the fear of God. So we look at the fear of God, how Christian fathers actually live out the fear of God. And then when we look at A, Christian fathers, they acknowledge God in all they do. And then when we look at the letter T, Christian fathers, they teach the word of God, not just to their children, but to everything they come in contact with. They're always teaching the word of God. Then number four, H, Christian fathers are helpers. Wherever you see a father, you see help. And then E, Christian fathers, unlike the world, did I spell it correctly? Christian fathers, they are eternity focused. They're not carried away by the things of the world. Eternity is their focus. And then lastly, letter R, Christian fathers are resilient. So that's F, they fear God. A, they acknowledge God. T, let's see if you're listening. T, you're allowed to speak, it's fine. H, oh, did I speak? E, and then R. Honestly, all of you, I know you got first class in your degree. You guys, very attentive. So let's just begin by looking at the first one. Christian fathers, what makes them distinct by fathers, those who are in the world, is they have the fear of God. And the first thing I want to say, I'm sure you've heard this before, it sounds cliche, but being a father is not necessarily a scientific or biological thing. Being a father is a role. And the reason why I say this is because, funny enough, when I looked at Jesus' ways, I was like, was Jesus a father? I could say yes. Even though Jesus did not have children, but Jesus, he fathered the disciples. And I can just imagine the disciples being like his children. Maybe this one, you know, Jesus was so patient. That's one thing as a quality, as a biological father anyway, you need to practice patience. This one is saying, Jesus, can we sit on your right-hand side? The other one is saying, Jesus, I will never deny you. They denied him. Like, Jesus had to really be patient. And there was something that stuck out to me that Pastor Benson preached. Again, sorry, last week's message, I don't know about you, but last week's message, when I went home, I was discussing it to my husband, I said, did you hear what Pastor Benson said this morning, the fear of the God? He said, one of the things, and I'm jumping ahead of myself because this is supposed to be another point, but it's just too juicy, I can't leave it till the next point. He said that the Holy Spirit, right, a lot of us, some of us, we grew up in Pentecostal church, like me, I don't know about you, we think the Holy Spirit is just speaking in tongues, someone falling down, someone doing cartwheel, someone, I don't know, praying for 6 hours and all those things. Yes, that is good. But he said something that changed my life. I don't know if it changed your life. He said, is it determination is not enough, but it's the Spirit of God that you need. I don't know what that did for some people. So that means if I wake up at 5 a.m., I get onto my laptop, I'm the first person at work, I hand in my project, I do all these things, you're saying that determination is not enough, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. That just changed my life. That doesn't mean I'm going to be lazy, but that just means that you need to know it's not by power, nor by might, but by the Spirit of God. And when we talk about the fear of God, the person that comes to mind is Joseph. When Joseph was faced with Potiphar's wife, I'm sure she was drop-dead gorgeous, had the best perfume. I just can imagine in those days what Potiphar's wife was like, and he was alone with her. But what did he say? Did he pray? Did he say, speak in tongues? What did he do? He fled. And then that just got me thinking. And I believe God wants me to say something like this about fathers. Fathers, Christian fathers, they fear God. And Joseph is an example. And one of the things I want to say is there's a scripture I'd like us to turn to. Because this is not from my mind. I'm not making this up. This is what the Word of God says. Awesome. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. And I'd like us all to read this together. I'm going to count. When I say three, we all read this together. I want to make sure that you're following me. John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17. On the count of three. One, two, three. What does it say? Let's read together. If you love me, you obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it does not see or know him. You know him because he lives in you and he will be in you. And this is what Pastor Benson was alluding to last week, Sunday. So do you know that you can pray for 6 hours? You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Do you know that there are people who teach philosophy, they know the Bible inside out, bring up any topic, but they don't have the Spirit of God in them, right? You can attend every prayer meeting, you can look the part, but Jesus knows your heart. Is the Spirit of God in you? Are you led by the Spirit of God? And this is why I understood this scripture this morning. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Your sacrifice of prayer, your sacrifice of worship, your sacrifice of coming to choir practice, your sacrifice of all these things is good, but without obedience, what is it? And this got me thinking, you know, the fear of God sometimes will make you seem weird to the world. I'm going to Dubai soon with my enjoyment partner. She knows who she is. We all know who that is. We don't need to mention the name. And I'm going to Dubai soon, not because I want to go, but my cousin is having her 40th birthday there, and she's my close cousin. She's been there for me and everything, and I need to be there. And you know, I was thinking to myself that, Remy, you're such a weird person. People that are thinking of going to Dubai, what are they thinking of? They're thinking of, I need to get my suitcase, and my cousin asked me, he said, are you looking forward to the girls' trip? But you know that, if I'm honest with you, do you know I'm not really looking forward to it? Do you know why? Because I fear that, God, I don't want to go to this trip and sin against the Lord. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to travel, though, right? But we're on a WhatsApp group, right? And I was just seeing a series of different itineraries. Then I saw clubbing. I said to my husband, they're talking about clubbing. I said, God, you know what? I'm ready to draw the line here. If I go to Dubai, the minute they say they're going clubbing, I'll take my bag and say, sorry, I can't go. If my cousin decides she ain't going to speak to me because of that, let it be. That is the Joseph in you. What are we talking about? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And you know why? Because I feel like if I'm up here teaching today, then you see me on Instagram, then you now saw a post of Sister Remy in Dubai. Like, what is it going to do to the character of God? It's like a Joseph thing for me. I cannot embarrass my God. I cannot sin against my God. So Christian fathers, they fear God. When they're bullying in the workplace, I can't be caught among them. When they're saying, this is how we do this, you know, you just have to just add 2 zeros, or you just have to. No, Christian fathers, we're men of integrity. We fear the Lord. The way we are in church is the way we are outside of church. So I don't want to dwell too much on that, but you get the point. Christian fathers, they fear God. The next one is Christian fathers, they acknowledge God and they acknowledge their earthly father. And I wrote here, John chapter 17, verse 1. Again, we can go to that, John chapter 17, verse 1. It says here, after Jesus said this, he looks toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. Even Jesus, who is the human form of God represented on earth, even him, he knew all things, but he was always, did you notice whenever you read the story of God, he's always like, I need to go and pray to God. Oh God, I know you hear me. I acknowledge my heavenly father. Only God is good. He's always acknowledging God. Christian fathers, they acknowledge God in everything they do. And I want to read a story. I want us to go to a story. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And it's a long read, so I'll read for us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And this is a story, whilst I just get it up. You know, this is a story about Joseph. You know, sometimes when we think of some male characters in the Bible, sometimes Joseph is so underrated. But I tell you, Joseph was a mighty man of God. Thank you. So this is the story of when the angel appeared to Joseph. So I'll just read. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, going to verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of man, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. And do you know what jumps out to me? Even the last line there, this goes to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. So Joseph's life was aligned to the will of God. His life had been written, and he walked that path that was written for him. When you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, all these scriptures that we read, your life will just line up seamlessly with the way of God. And when I look at Joseph, Joseph was a man that heard God and he acknowledged God in all he did. So there was a couple of things I wrote here. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, this is a little bit about like what Pastor Benson was saying last week. Letting the Holy Spirit move through you, yes, can be speaking in tongues, praying, and all those things, but is actually being sensitive to the move of God, to the Spirit of God. And being acknowledging God in all your ways, what is that? That is being obedient and listening to the Spirit of God. And what I said, this will help your life. This will help you in marriage. This will help you in workplace. But if we look at Joseph, Joseph could have put his wife-to-be away. How many of the men here, let's be serious, you have planned a wedding and everything, then your wife told you that she's pregnant. You go and tell your friends and say, what? If it's some countries, it'll be so dramatic. What? No way. The marriage is canceled and everything. And then another thing as well, the Bible said that, I don't know if it included in this verse, do you know that Joseph did not touch his wife till after she gave birth? So she was pregnant before the wedding and he did not meet with his wife. For how many men can do that? I won't go into that because there's some underage people here. But he heard from God and he did not allow voices, because I'm sure there mustn't be people, because after he got married, or I don't know whether there was her bump showing or what have you. But I'm sure he must have had lots of temptation to be like, God, should I go through with this or should I not? You know? But he was a man that walked with God. And there's another part as well where we can see Joseph is a man that leads his family. So we're talking about acknowledging God. So a Christian father acknowledges God and he leads his family according to the will of God. There's another part that when they went to Bethlehem, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again and told Joseph to take his family to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill all the male. If he hadn't had a relationship with God, obviously that cannot happen anyway because it's been written and Jesus must live and he must die on the cross. But a Christian father is someone that doesn't make decisions because everybody is going into engineering. I go to engineering. Everyone is. It's good to have information, but a Christian father is the one that hears the voice of God and acknowledges God in all that he does. And this will help you in every area of your life. This will help you in the workplace. I tell you, this workplace, it's a wonderful place. Don't worry, Brother Bua. It's good to grow up. The workplace is waiting for you. So in the workplace, I don't know about you guys, we're in the workplace, wherever there's people, there's supposed to be a lot of different colorful activities and things like that. And you know, the Spirit of God, I like to give practical examples of what we're talking about here. Being a Christian father that acknowledges God is what we're focusing on. I'm just giving an example. Even when you're at work, the Spirit of God will lead you on the decisions that you should make. You know, in the workplace, I've had a colleague of mine come and tell me what another colleague said about me, something bad, and then go into the meeting with that colleague, smile with that colleague. But you know what? That is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God led me to make this girl to be given her a lift. And that created an avenue for her to be telling me all the things that this guy is saying because her line manager. And it now gives me wisdom on how to handle things. And also as well, I learned from Jesus. Jesus knew that Judas is not his friend. So why did Jesus not kick him out of the 12? But he kept Judas there. So I just applied that wisdom. The guy, me and him are cool. If you want tea, I'll make you tea. We laugh together. I say, you're a fantastic line manager, but I know that you're talking about me. That's good. But the Spirit of God will reveal things, will make people say, bring information to you that you did not ask for. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, life is seamless. A Christian father acknowledges God in all his ways. A Christian father allows the Spirit of God to make him make decisions. And the next one, because of time, we still have a few letters. We're talking about Christian fathers this morning, for those who joined us, because it's Father's Day. And we're looking at each letter of that word father. And we're now on letter T. Christians' fathers, not only do they teach their children, if we're talking about a biological father, but Christians' fathers, they teach everybody around them. And that's why one of my favorite verses in the Bible, I don't know why, is that verse that says, when they saw the disciples, they knew that they had been with what? With who? They didn't speak in tongues, they knew they'd been with Jesus. They did not only raise the dead, but there was something, it was talking about their character, their behavior, what they did. Do you understand? When I meet with you, I know that you're a Christian. I'm so sorry to say this, but I think sometimes Christianity is trending. Because I cannot comprehend how someone, and thank God that I'm not on social media because I would have been dragged, kicked, flipped upside down for what I'm about to say. But maybe I am old school and I'm traditional. How on earth are we gonna post nude images on Instagram, show yourself reckless living, then in the next reel, you put the scripture up, glory be to God. Like, I remember this praise and worship singer, Dunsi, how do you say his name? He sang, some of you know him, and he was saying again, that when you look at people's Spotify playlist, you will see CeCe Winans, let's just say. You will see, who are the names? Don Moen, for example. You will see Tasha Cobbs. Then you now see Asake. You now see Wizkid. You now see... Now, am I saying, I don't even want to go into the music, do you understand? Because God made every type of music that glorifies him. But there's some music that, come on, that you just know. So, when we're talking about Christian men of God, when you meet them, you know that they have been with Jesus because their behavior, their character says everything about it. And the reason why I said Christian fathers, they teach, the first thing I want us to look at is Christian fathers, biologically, or even around them, they teach their children. Let me just start off with, maybe you have biological kids. There's a scripture that says, it is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. Okay. So I didn't paste that down. But that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13, it talks about the qualification to actually be a leader or to be a man of God in the house of God. So that is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1. Maybe you can put verses 1 to 5 for now. Okay. It said, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. And the next verse. Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions. So I think this is the wrong verse. But anyway, not to delay, there's a scripture that talks about the qualifications to be right standing, to be a bishop in the house of God. And this is where I refer to Christian fathers, they teach their children, they teach their household. And I remember Pastor Benson mentions something in one of his teachings. A lot of us, we know, train your child in the way he ought to go so he will not depart. And when we hear of that, we think, yes, teach the Bible, which is good. But he said something that day. I'm a little bit weird. I hang on to little things that people say. He says, don't just teach them the Bible, teach them their books. I was like, wow. So, Christian fathers, they train their children. When you look at the word train, it's not just saying teach them the Bible, teach them different things. Do you understand? Like fathers, they prepare their men to be the best husbands, to be the best managers, to be the best, whatever it is they're gonna be. Christian fathers, I tell you why Christian fathers are so important. I'll give you an example. My little girl, as small as she is, she's 20 months, so she's under two. I say, Naomi, come here. They've learned how to do that fake cry. Then her father says, Naomi! Why do children? There's a place that the father plays. And it's the role, it's an example. Do you understand? So Christian fathers, you train and you teach by doing. So maybe you come, you have, and these kids are smart, you have maybe Henneken here, you have this. That child will say, Daddy, what's that? He said, keep quiet, why are you asking? But I cannot keep quiet because you have it here, you're showing me. You train by example. And I tell you, whether you like it or not, if you don't train your child, the world is outside waiting to train your children. I tell you the scariest thing that happened to me 2 weeks ago, I was sharing it with my husband. So we try our best because ever since Pastor said that, train them their books as well. Because you know, sometimes you can be so religious and you're just training. It's a holistic thing. Do you understand? So we try and give him maths to do, your times table, pay for lesson and this and that. And so that he's not idle, I try to make him learn at least one thing a day. And all of us as well, I learned from someone, we should try and learn one thing a day. And then, so I just told him, I said, Daniel, go and research about dinosaurs. So he went on, hey Google, What? Tell me about dinosaurs. Like you do it. And then one day we're in the car, and I don't know what we'll say, he just said, oh, mummy, how come human beings, they came from monkeys? I said, what? I said, where did you hear that from? He said, when I was listening about, I told my boy to learn about dinosaurs. Google went to go back all the way to get, what's that evolution theory, and be teaching the boy. Can you imagine that? And I believe, I thank God, God is so awesome. Because God made him say that in the car so that we know. Or else that would have been embedded in his mindset in a Christian household. So I immediately said, yes, Daniel. He said, but I said, that's not entirely true. He said, but Google said it was. I said, hold on, not everything that Google says is fact. Remember, you're a Christian, Daniel. There's an evolution theory that says that, but it's not been proven to be true. Remember what Superbook said? How did God make human beings? Oh, it came from Adam and Eve. I said, that's the truth. As a Christian father, you must be interested in every part of your child. That's the assignment that God has given you. As a Christian father as well, you must lead your home aright. Oh God, time is going. You must lead your home aright. And there are many ways. I'm just giving an example of my husband because unfortunately I didn't have a heavenly biological father growing up. So sorry. I hope I'm not boring you. So, like, a Christian father leads his family aright and is always watchful. You know, mothers, we look at the details, but Christian fathers, they're observant. They're not too concerned about the detail. But, you know, sometimes my husband will call me. Deaconess Remy, I don't think you should wear that to church. No. You know that is see-through, and that's not going to be... Deacon Charles always, when he will say that, then he'll say, you know what you said in the preaching today? I don't think you should have said it like that. You should have said it in this way. You should have said it. A Christian father guides his household, builds his family. And a Christian father teaches everyone that's around him. We can use Pastor Benson as an example as well. Like I said at the beginning, a Christian father is not necessarily biological, but a Christian father, they teach everyone around them, just like Jesus fathered the disciples. I can tell you, I don't want to embarrass him, but I'm sure a lot of us can attest to this. Pastor Benson, he doesn't just share the word of God and then drops the mic and that's it. He lives the word of God through everyday affairs. Do you know that once I used to work in, when I first moved to Wales, I used to travel from Wales to London every week because my job was in London. And I was trying to like move careers. And you know, Pastor Benson sat with me, talked to me, what do you want to do? Everything. And you know that Pastor Benson, because I was confused, I didn't know whether I should stay in what I was doing or go into the other field. Do you know Pastor Benson? He wrote 2 CVs for me. I just saw that my phone is ringing. People are calling me, recruiters from where? I didn't send any CV. Pastor Benson, he's a father, he's a pastor, he has his responsibility. He was sending CVs on my behalf. That's a father. A father teaches. Like we said, when you meet a Christian, you know that they have the heart of Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, you cannot come with the situation and leave Jesus the same. No way. A father touches lives around them. And many of you can bear testimonies with this, isn't it? Those of you. So a father always seeks every opportunity to teach everyone around them. Depending on your sphere, you may be a pastor in a church, you may be a father with children, you may be in a workplace. You don't dictate because they made you a manager. Make people's life. If you're a manager, I don't want to go into there. God has made you a manager for a reason. Do you know that the facts say that we spend more time in work than anywhere else? So imagine if you're spending most of your life in work and work is a miserable place. Why? Because one manager decided they're going to be Lord and dictator. When you did not know that when God made you a leader, he actually made you a servant. That's why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Do you understand? So if God, fathers, if God has made you managers in your establishment, don't forget to show the father's heart. What does that mean? If people, you may have mothers who maybe they've got children, they need to leave the office a bit early to do the school runs. You say, no, you either leave by 4 p.m. or you lose your job. Not knowing that if God acted like that, you wouldn't even be able to have a mouth to say what you said. Because he's a God who makes the sun shine on the good and the evil. If God did not bring the oxygen and bring the ideas, where would Elon Musk even have, be able to wake up and say, let me design Tesla? So people don't understand. So when God has made you a father, you teach everyone around you the way God would do it. And then E, we talked about, I can't spell, F-A-T-H. Thank you so much, Sister Tisha. What's going on with me? I need some coffee. And we said H was for, and we touched upon this in point when we talked about teachers. Fathers are helpers. And we see that the first father was God, right? And the Bible says we're made in the image and likeness of God. And if we look at that scripture in Genesis, I'm just going to paraphrase. I don't want to go there. It says that we are made in the image and likeness of God. So Christian fathers are helpers. They offer help to everyone. And I remember when I wrote this down, it's funny because a lot of times the word helper, we often use it in a marriage teaching, that the wife is a helpmate. So I mean a helper in a different sense. Now at this point, I want to give the men their flowers. Have you heard of that expression? Yeah. That means give them their accolade. It's your time today. Can we do something? Women, can we clap for the men, please? Yeah. You know what it dawned on me this morning? That it's not easy to be a man. That role of being a father, it's not easy. And women, sorry, don't worry, you can hate on me after the service, but I'm going to say this. It is not easy to play the role of a man. Number one, the expectation of society. And I believe there's no household husband in this century this morning. Okay, there's something called house husband, but I know we don't subscribe to that here. But the place that God has given the man is a very, it's a one of pressure. That is why Pastor's message last week, it was so life-changing. Because as men, society expects you to be the breadwinner. I can give you a joke. For example, in some of us, those of us who are married, who does the garbage in your house? I don't know, but it's a funny thing. You always find that there's always the men that do the messy job. Men always have to, they find them placed sometimes in messy situations. A woman can wake up and say, I'm tired of this job. I call it quits. Charles, that job is stressing me. Sorry, I'll look for a job. But a man cannot rise up. Even though the job is stressing him, why? He has to think about the rent. He has to think about the mortgage. He has to think of what would society say if her mother now comes from London to come and stay. Say, hey, Charles, you're still sleeping. He said, no. A man has to wake up and provide even if he's stressed. A man has to, like in our house, I'm always worrying about the tidying. My husband, he makes sure the door locked. Anything to do with security. I told Charles he should have worked for MI5. Anything security, he's very, very observant. But man, there's a lot of pressure on men. You know, we women, we often say, oh yeah. And I had to really deal with this because growing up, I never really had a physical father because my father died before I was born and everything. So, you know, it made me like a strong woman. Like, Sister Remy, help you. No, I'll take care of that. I buy my own car. I pay my own bills. I do everything. So when I got married to Charles, I was a little bit stubborn, you know? And he had to tell me about it. And this is why I want to talk to the women. that we should really, like, respect our husbands. I'm not saying kneel down and give them food, because that ain't necessarily respect. You can do that, but in your mind, you might not even respect them. But I'm saying sometimes give them their flowers. Men go through a lot. And the thing about men is, if you say, oh, are you okay? Is there any problem? No, everything is fine. But in their head, oh God, how am I going to tell this woman that I just lost my job? Oh God. Do you understand? They always feel they have to. They have to. So please, can we just clap for the men in the house this morning? It's not easy being a man. Men are helpers. They help the household. They help the church. Can I talk about the men in this church? Yes. Can I talk about the men in this church? For a whole 2 years, people wake up at, I don't know, 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. on a Sunday to come and set up the church for 2 years. Where will you find that kind of dedication? Do you understand? That is a Christian father. He helps the house of God. The house of God is helped by prayers, the word of God, but the house of God, there's a helping. There's a practical helping that is needed as well. Christian fathers, they help the house of God. And that's why I always say something like, you know, if someone says, oh, I lost my job and everything, I say, don't worry, it's impossible. You are a helper of God, and God has already helped you. You will always get, you cannot, it's impossible for the helper of God to be jobless. A Christian father is a helper. And let me stop there. And the last one is, E was eternity, so they're focused on eternity. I think we treated quite a lot of that with the fear of God. They're eternity minded, if I can use that word. Something hit me yesterday when I was watching IT3 Wales. They have Eurosports. Those of you who are into football, you know the Euros are on. And they were talking about the death of two footballers. And you know what struck me? They said the last person's name, I can't remember his name. They said, so-and-so was a footballer, born in this, died in that. And I said, yeah, God, when you call me home, I don't want my tribute to be so-and-so, born and died there. What is your tribute? Is your tribute just going to be born and died? Or is your tribute going to be, this sister was a helper of God? This sister in the choir department, we knew her. In her community, we knew her. Even when people come and so when you're eternity minded, you make spiritual impact. Spiritual impact is not just praying or speaking the word of God. Like, there are people who you have impacted, sown stuff in their life. It will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Heaven will testify of the great things that we have done for his kingdom in the name of Jesus, because we can get so caught up. But it really shocked me. That footballer, do you know how much footballers earn a week? Hey, my goodness. It's not beans, okay? They earn a lot. And I just thought to myself, this guy so young, died at 20-something. And look at the accolade they gave him. Born and died. That's it. Chapter over. Moving on. Next player. This life, as Solomon put it, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. But a Christian father is not caught on guard. A Christian father is eternity minded. And lastly, a Christian father is resilient. And I know when we say resilience, what you think of is resilient. They work up. They do what they need to do. Yes, that's part of it. But remember what we learned last week. They are resilient in the flesh and resilient in the spirit. What does it mean to be resilient in the spirit? Acknowledging that I am led by the Spirit of God. That is not by power nor by might, but by my Holy Spirit. Zechariah chapter 4:6 says that. That is why David was so, he excelled as a shepherd boy when it was Pastor Benson that helped me understand this actually. Now, you know when the Bible says that David fought the lion and the bear, do you think he used his physical flesh to fight that? It was a supernatural spirit of the living God. So Christian fathers are resilient in the flesh and in the spirit. You're resilient in the spirit. You depend on the power of God. Do you know that the power of God can still give you supernatural strength? It's not just some anointing that is done. It can give you strength where you have studied. You want promotion. You've studied from maybe you've studied all night. You've studied from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. You need to get up by 5 a.m. to work. God will give you supernatural strength. Now, even when you get to work, people say, sis, did you go for beauty? For beauty, your skin is shining. You that didn't even sleep, the Spirit of God will be making you glow, and it will give you supernatural. You will sleep for 1 hour. It will be like you slept for 6 hours. The Spirit of God is real, can give you supernatural strength. And I think I need to end there. But honestly, this message of Christian fathers is such an eye-opener. Although we're celebrating fathers in the house today, but I believe we have learned from the Word of God this morning about so many things that God wants us to line up with. Number one, we looked at Christian fathers. They fear God. They're men that fear God. We also looked at Christian fathers that they acknowledge God in all they do. And there's one thing that I wrote here. I said they also acknowledge their earthly father. They're not hypocrites. If you have an earthly father, you can't come to church and give Pastor Benson a gift and your own physical father, you've not called them for 4 years. God is a God of integrity. The Bible says, honor your mother and father so your days may be long. That's one of the commands that has a promise. It didn't say pray that your days may be long. It said honor your father. So if there's anyone in this house, you have a father that's still alive or an uncle that was like your father or your grandfather, please, we're going to do after the service, pick up your phone and wish them a happy Father's Day. Because that is godly. That is godly. I just believe God wanted me to mention that this morning. And we also looked at, apart from acknowledging God, we also looked at, help me out, those of you, T, a Christian father teaches, not just his children, but everyone around them. A Christian father is a helper, not only to their household, they help in the house of God. And a Christian father is looks at eternity, is eternity minded. And lastly, a Christian father is resilient. So let us rise up this morning from all that we have heard from the Word of God this morning. Let us pray. There's actually one prayer that I want us to pray, which I think summarizes quite a lot of things. Earlier on, we looked at about being obedient, that the Bible says that, obedience is better than sacrifice. And there's a scripture that we read today that said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. We say, Lord, God, we've learned so much about your word. We've looked at the lives of some people. We looked at how God, Joseph feared God. He was led by the Spirit of God. We even looked at Joseph, how he did not want to sin against the Lord. He ran away from Potiphar's wife. We're going to say, Heavenly Father, make me an obedient child. You're praying to your Father this morning that, Lord, I don't want to play church anymore, Lord. And it's not by our own determination, although it will get us somewhere, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that made Joseph said, how can I sin against my God? Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to play church anymore. Make me an obedient child in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I want to actually be your child. I want to be a child that obeys the word of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to make decisions by the will of God. I want to do what pleases your God. Heavenly Father, Lord, make me obedient to your statutes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And let us just pray. Remember a father, someone, it could be a biological father, someone who's been a father figure in your life. I want us to lift up fathers this morning. Because fathers are very important. They play a significant role in society. We just want to pray for every father in this house this morning. I want you to lift them up. I want to say, Father, Lord, every father, Lord, that is in this house, I pray, God, that you will make them, Lord, the fathers that you want them to be. I pray that Holy Spirit continue to empower them and lead them. And you continue to give them strength, because it's not easy to be a father in this day and age. Oh, God, continue to empower the men, Father, Lord, of this house, the men in our lives. Continue to give them strength. Father, give them wisdom, Lord, for things pertaining to leading their household, in marriage, in their business, in their workplace. We just pray for every man, Lord God, in this house in the name of Jesus. Oh God, the Bible said that Aaron and Miriam, Lord God, they lifted up the hands of Moses. Oh God, Father, Lord, lift up the hands of the men in this house in the name of Jesus. Whatever they lay their hands on shall be fruitful, shall be successful. Father, when they turn to their right and left, they will find helpers in the name of Jesus. You will make our men eternity minded in the name of Jesus. And we pray that on the day when you come to call us home, that, Lord, none of the men shall be found wanting in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Thank you, God.